Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in a global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, united sovereigns in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough, keep the faith. Get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
Well, greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy for Cosmic Love. Today, October the 8th, 2011. Today, it's going to be a call-in show. We're going to be discussing the news. Got some conversation pieces there posted up on the Cosmic Love homepage. There's a reference to an article there, Steve Jobs, the passing of Steve Jobs. here this last week, another subject matter we can discuss, beginning of quantum shift, what's going on with source field investigations. David Wilcox referenced there, what's going on with the energy shift, the end of the Mayan calendar, the end of time as we know it, and another subject matter, the United Sovereigns of Earth. There's a lot of stuff there where you can cuss and discuss, and I'm going to open the phone lines if anyone wants to call and talk about that. Otherwise, or until then, I'm going to be referencing the article, The Passing of Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, what a life. The core of Apple, Apple's core, visionary genius, and all that he's done. So if you'd like to talk about that, that's one subject we can talk about. I'd like to go into that a little bit, just an honorarium for Steve and his immense contribution to the conscious evolution of global humanity. That's kind of the theme my intro began with, and the computer internet revolution is a subject that has fascinated me and how it parallels consciousness revolution that's going on right now. So those who'd like to discuss that, that's a real concern of mine, real interest, where it's going and the trend fitting of this technological evolution from hardware, software, netware, and to hardware, and what that will look like and what that will mean, because we have the technology installed and operational now. The technology that Steve Jobs has largely advanced with a great user experience in the process. Global humanity is waking up with extraordinary exponential increase in knowledge power. And that upwising is now resulting in an uprising worldwide. People know that things aren't fair, balanced, or otherwise right. There's too much information coming out in terms of why things are the way they are, and people know better, and they want to do better. They want to basically claim their sovereign rights as was ordained by the Constitution. So we're seeing a lot of inroads on that matter, and I'd rather talk about the high road than the low road in that regard. And that's why I like to talk about the trend fitting of where this is going, what the full implications of this computer internet revolution are, and how to trend fit, you might say, the progress technically with the evolution in the collective consciousness of humanity. And there is a trend there. There's an awakening process going on. And you might say that there's a new light or a new consciousness that's bringing up for transmutation and transformation all that is less than light, all that is less than a conscious. And so on the way up is on the way out, so to speak, and that's the high road I'm referring to, an upward mobile consciousness raising revolution, evolution in consciousness. So Steve was really amazing in that regard. What he's done with technology is extraordinary, and I liked that reference that I included in my article, that only ExxonMobil, which makes its money extracting and refining oil instead of ideas, is worth more. And that's what Steve Jobs is really known for, is extracting all kinds of ideas regarding what was evolving with the computer internet revolution. And he had the ability to not so much invent computers, digital music players, or smartphones. He reinvented them for people who wanted to learn how to do computers without learning all the complex programming language, or people that wanted to make their gadgets work easily and simply without a lot of technical experience. So the progress, the trending I'm referring to is really the evolution of technology as an extension of our biological capabilities. For example, if cars are an extension of the feet, and telephones are an extension of the ears, then the iPhone, the iPad, and the iPad are extensions of our ears and eyes, just as surely as the iMac computer has been a breakthrough extension of the brain, making it possible to do all kinds of complex and sophisticated processes on the computer, from graphic arts to music making to, you know, all kinds of creative processes, simple and easy. And it's just really amazing that these tools and what they've done for the transformation of humanity. So we have these tools now, and this is the point. If you take the trend where it's going, we have these tools to really transform our lives, transform humanity as never before in history. And I think this is Steve Jobs' real legacy. He's brought us to this point where we can use these tools to build real community through communication processes that, you know, bring us into unity of a real rather than a virtual or pseudo nature. And we're seeing this through the Web 2.0, it's sometimes referred to, social networks, and how the technology has went from hardware and software, you know, like the IBM's and the Microsoft emphasis, to an emphasis on network, which was pioneered by Netscape, whereby the computer became the network of computers. Now, this concept of how the computer is the network really changed everything very quickly, globally. The understanding of why the Berlin Wall really came down was because faxes and communications across the wall could no longer contain the sense of separation between people on both sides of the wall. It made the physical wall completely obsolete. And this is what's going on globally. Emails and internet, instant everywhere internet communications all over the world are bringing down the walls in people's minds. And they're realizing that these walls are being kept up by those forces, those interests that want to keep us divided and conquered, so to speak. And so there's this movement going on, this nonlinear grassroots, or it's actually a net roots movement, that people are networking. The social networks and consciousness that evolves in social networks has become a phenomenon worldwide. And the full implication of that and the trend where that's going is a unity conscience that'll no longer put up with or otherwise, you know, accept arbitrary decisions like the Berlin Walls in our minds like they used to. So this is, you know, unity consciousness going mainstream. You know, we're living in a global village now of instant everywhere and interactive capabilities. But we have social institutions that are virtually dark ages by comparison of the real-time potential for unity and diversity, and with social conscience in all of our local and global social networks. Now, this is where it's naturally going. Now, the interesting thing about this, and this is one of the other subject matters for discussion, is what's going on with cosmogenesis right now, with the end of the Mayan calendar, which is really that real story is, and this is scientific cosmological fact, is that our solar system, with the precession of the equinoxes, is crossing up and aligning with at this time over this next month, according to leading scholar of the Mayan calendar, Carl Kalman, it's aligning with the galactic plane of our solar system. And that reality, that understanding of what's going on with the energy fields of Earth and all the planets in our solar system, which have been experiencing planetary changes, pole shifts and energy shifts and weather shifts, changing weather, and all the planets in our solar system. This has been going on actually the last 10 years as our solar system has been moving up into alignment with the galactic plane of hundreds of billions of star systems in our Milky Way galaxy. This is a really an amazing thing going on now. And it explains a lot of things if you think about it, because this is a 25,800-year cycle, the precession of the equinoxes, that our solar system orbits up and across this galactic plane. It happens, obviously, twice and every 25,000 enter your cycle, because you have this plane. And if you look at our galaxy from space, it's like a big pancake with a great central sun, this giant central sun in the middle of it. Well, they're all in alignment pretty much in our solar system orbit. You know, we're kind of in alignment with it, but we orbit up and across. The great crossing across this galactic plane happens twice, and it's 25,000 inner year cycle. The last time this happened was about 14,000 years ago, with the rise and fall of the mythical, quote-unquote, mythical civilization of Atlantis. Some people are more up on that subject than others, of how it's not really mythology, but that there was a pole shift back at that time. And it was an energetic pole shift and a physical pole shift with the sinking of continents, earth crustal displacement. And I have links on, you know, the website articles that go into that in more detail if you're interested. But the understanding is that there was a major quantum shift in the energetic intensification of change on Earth and all the planets in our solar system back then, as is going on now, and it's very intense over this next year. So I've had several articles on my homepage. You can read about it, about the source field and what's going on with this energy field called the source field, dealing with these energies of cosmic energies that are in alignment with our solar system, our Earth, at this time with a heightened intensity. And with that, if you have an extraordinary acceleration of consciousness, and you can see it with the internet parallels it, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg, consciousness or technology, or vice versa, you know, there's a relationship there that they have trended together. There's been, because of the internet, there's obviously a massive awakening in the collective consciousness of humanity to the importance of knowledge power, and specifically knowledge power with wisdom, and more specifically knowledge power with the wisdom of love, the frequency of holy compassion, which is the energy of this of the source field that's surging right now. There's an intelligence, a wisdom of divine order of the universe. There's an intelligence in the light that's flooding Earth right now, and this surge in the force field, as is explained by David Wilcox in a recent video he has, and I've linked that in one of my recent articles on Source, the reboot of energies of Earth with the Source Field. He has a video on the Source Field investigations that goes into the science of this energy, which is flooding the Earth right now, which is has accelerated throughout history. He goes into the science of how as this Source Field surges, there's a surge in an evolution of life forms on the planet, evolution of new life, creation of new life forms, and basically what's going on with a creative surge of intelligence, as was behind the rise of the highly technological advanced civilization of Atlantis, and is bringing Earth's evolution to the same point now with extremely advanced technologies, many of which are suppressed because they would disrupt the status quo as it is. But all that's changing. This too shall pass, as the expression goes. So it's a really interesting time as far as the energetic change in our galaxy, the technological changes on Earth, the evolution of technology towards what some people are referring to, a cosmic convergence of energies with a new unity conscience, sometimes referred to as universal co-creation, but it's referring to a unity, a common sense in the collective consciousness of humanity, that either we all hang together or most assuredly we'll all hang separately, as Benjamin Franklin said at the Constitutional Convention that began it all. You know, either we all hang together or most assuredly we'll all hang separately. So this is a global phenomenon now, obviously. The concept of the unity in our diversity is referenced in that third article on the United Sovereigns of Earth. And what I do with that article, I reference, you know, this larger picture, what's going on in the galaxy right now with this galactic alignment. There's a photograph there of the galaxy, what it looks like, and you can just kind of attuned to this light force, you know, the light side of the force, and attuned to, you know, the whole concept now of, you know, may the source be with you. May the light of God that never fails, so to speak, the source, however you want to reference it, your I Am presence, your conscience, you know, whatever. That concept of there's more light streaming through our galaxy right now as it crosses this galactic plane. This is really what the whole story of the Mayan calendar is about, these cosmic cycles that are converging right now. So there's also a reference on that that article I provide on the United Sovereigns of Earth to the source field investigation, the YouTube video there. And that goes into what I'm referring to when I say, may the source be with you. This light or this intelligence that quickens conscious evolution and quickens the evolution of life forms and accelerates evolutionary developments on Earth is referenced brilliantly in that video, The Source Field Investigations. So those who are listening now or perhaps in the future listening to the radio archives, you can go to this article that I've referenced on the homepage, which I'll reference on the link in the archive versions. And you can read about the source field investigation and click on that link if you're interested and watch that video, if you can stream YouTube videos. So there's a unique dynamic going on with the planet right now. There's a lot of different issues in the news that we can talk about. If you'd like to call in, be glad to discuss different issues in the news. And I'm really interested in how this is all going to shake out. It's not foreordained or etched in stone. The big X factor with Planet X and all these other influences that we've had different people on the show before talk about. All these other factors, the real X factor is the collective consciousness of humanity. There's a resonance and a connection with, you know, might say, source, the law of cosmos, the prime directive, however you want to put it. And what goes around comes around sooner or later, you know. Collectively, we have a lot of the same records back from the... Oh. Hello? Do you have a caller? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello, this is Bob Hieronymus from 21st Century Radio. Is this Chris?
Yeah, Bob. Hey, geez, good to hear your voice. I don't think we've talked for, 25 years, 35 years?
Yeah, perhaps so. That's right. But, you know, you were talking about Steve Jobs, and I just had one little comment to make here. The other things that I'm working on, you might know right now, I don't think would be the kind of thing you'd want to hear on 21st Century Radio. I mean, the kind of things we're working on right now with what's about ready to happen in Washington, D.C., and what is happening in Washington, D.C., and as you probably know, my interest is in American symbolism and the great changes that have happened within this country and continue to, and some recent reports that are going to change the way this country looks at politics very soon. But Steve Jobs, one of the things, he had an interview, I'm trying to remember exactly when it was, but it was with New York Times reporter John Markoff, who interviewed him for his book. I think his book was What the Dormouse Said, How the 60s Counterculture Shaped the Personal Computer. And he talked about his youthful experiments with psychedelics. Jobs said, quote, doing LSD was one of the two or three most important things I have done in my life, end quote. And, well, he was hardly alone.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he basically...
There were many computer scientists.
Yeah.
Actually got involved with the same aspect of it. And because its capacity was to liberate human thought, as he noted, from the prison of the mind, Jobs even let drop that Microsoft's Bill Gates would, quote, be a broader guy if he had dropped acid once. And Apple's mantra, of course, would think different. their jobs did, but, you know, some of the experiments that are now going on at Johns Hopkins University and elsewhere in regards to cancer and psilocybin, major breakthroughs are being made as we speak. You won't hear about this in the major media because, by and large, anytime you talk about these things, they have a strong bias because their feeling is people only don't feel good, but actually they do, and to a limited extent. But first, elevate a consciousness and awareness. And as you well know, we're moving towards a time period when the planet is moving towards a oneness, which is the key to everything. And the founding fathers of this country laid the foundation for that in our republic.
Excuse me, Bob, for people that don't know on the radio broadcast, Robert Hieronymus got your PhD thesis on the subject of the mystical symbolism in the Great Seal of the United States. Isn't that correct, Bob?
Yeah, that was part of it. It was called An Historic Analysis of the Reverse of the Great Seal of the United States and its relationship to ideology of humanistic and transpersonal psychology. You know how long the thesis names are. They have to be because they have to be very specific. And I had done a lot of research and work before that in the 70s. And as a matter of fact, the time I spent a little time with Jimi Hendrix, and his interest in American symbolism was very, very deep, Christopher.
I didn't know that.
But, well, most people, you know, the thing is the media slants things. And the media, you know, Hendrix had a lot of folks that hung around him that did him no good. They really didn't. They stole from him. They took a lot from him in many ways. And they never understood his intellect. And I spent time, a little bit of time, three or four times I spent with him. We didn't talk about music. We talked about America. And we talked about America's pyramid and the eye and the triangle. Now, this was July 3rd, 1968, up in New York City, in one of their famous nightclubs up there. But he was with Jeff Beck and a whole bunch of other guys. They were jamming. They jam all night at this place. And he came. I was going to be doing record album covers for Elektra Records and other record companies. And so they wanted to introduce me to all the people that were interested in UFOs, reincarnation, out-of-body experiences, earth change, et cetera. Because that's what, and still is. You know, talk to Paul McCartney about it, or talk to many, many, and Bob Marley. If Bob Marley was still alive, you can talk to Ziggy Marley about that. These are my friends, and we would talk about the same thing. But Hendrix was focused on that pyramid and the eye and the triangle, and we sat in these nightclubs, and he pontificated, I pontificated. We never talked about music, but we always talked about symbols and the American flag. You know, he was a paratrooper. He injured himself.
I didn't know
and,
that.
He injured himself in a jump. So therefore had to withdraw. But he used to sleep with his guitar, Chris. Even in the military, he would take his guitar, bring it to bed. As soon as he woke up, he was playing all the time, and it really disturbed a lot of the other guys in the military. So,
but you know, you were going to point.
Well,
I don't want you to go on here, but you know, it's really a thrill getting your perspective on Hendrix. Most people listening don't realize that you were a graphic artist, and you actually painted murals all over the walls in Baltimore with these mystical symbols of the Great Seal of the United States, and giant murals in Baltimore, and were also the president of the Aquarian University of Maryland at one time.
All the way to the end of 1980, somewhere around there. That was a really key part of my life. The murals that I did at Johns Hopkins, you were right, the first one was called The Apocalypse, and it wasn't about the end of the world. It was about transformation, the time period that we are going through right now. Because many of us are having much deeper experiences spiritually and have come to realize that, you know, the planet's going to go through a lot of changes, and we need to adjust and work with it, because Mother Nature has been damaged a great deal by individuals who don't care about the environment. You know, those who are anti-global warming don't really realize who's responsible for the mess that we are in. And back there in the late 60s, we knew what was going on from then on. as well as a lot of musicians. I mean, it's not just Bob Marley and Jimi Hendrix, but the Doors and all of these guys that I spent a fraction of time with all talked about the same kind of thing, except we thought the changes were going to come about more rapidly, Chris. But fortunately, they haven't. And you know why I think the changes haven't come about as rapidly? It was because so many of us and so many groups were praying for our planet. As you well know, Chris, prayer is really key here.
The prayer from a pure heart with pure intention is really limitless power to it. And the power of love in that regard, I really believe that this whole thing of apocalypse is, the meaning of the word is lifting of the veil. And the veil is obviously, the veil is obviously thinning at an accelerated rate right now. And people, I think, are waking up to this and love to hear this message right now.
Well, you're absolutely right, Chris. The veil is so thin that some of us who were dullards, like myself, some of us who took a long time to begin to pierce into the etheric and into the astral levels and into the higher levels of the higher mental, and then find, as all artists, and you're an artist, look at the geometrical order of divinity that you have here. That's gorgeous. That's gorgeous. It tells all kinds of stories that you have in that logo. Well, I guess I'm going off track here, and I guess I shouldn't get into this.
Oh, thank you. But,
the key thing is, when you create anything, the act of creation is itself godlike. And when you create anything, you get out of that ego. You break that down, and over a period of time, you begin to see how all of us fit together. Now, listen, I know this sounds corny. I know, but it's true. It's true. Prayer is talking to God. Meditation is listening, and it's this balance of talking and listening and talking and listening and growing over the period of time that will break down that veil even more, because people will become conscious that we're one people on one planet. That's something that Jimmy said over and over again. He said, Bob, this is one. We're one world. We are one world. It's going to take a long time to get there. There were other artists, even Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson knew about reincarnation. I spent only 7 or 8 hours with Willie, on biodiesel, because we use biodiesel on my art cars. And Willie was at the age of 9 years old, he was going around teaching his friends about reincarnation. This is no joke. It's in his biography.
That's amazing.
So he knew about Atlantis. He knew about reincarnation, and he knew about the whole thing of the concept that we are one people on one planet. And if that's true, why in a world do we war with one another? We need, obviously, the kind of show that you're doing right now and other shows to bring people together to understand that when you concentrate on bringing people together and helping them and assisting, we need to assist anybody that's around us. You don't need to... If you can't find out your purpose in life, and everybody has a purpose in life, there's no two ways about that. But when you do find out your purpose, then lend people a helping hand. Don't worry about whether you're going to get money out of it or people's going to watch you. It's the thing what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ was about unconditional love. Now, that's the best.
I like the quote by Jimi Hendrix that when the power of love overcomes the love of power, we will have peace.
Way to go. Way to go. Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, I'm sorry for taking so much of your time.
Oh, no, I really appreciate it. It's so good to hear from you. I know you have been a pioneer on the new frontier of inner space for a long time and have done the kind of professional work with musicians and with conferences and with teachings at your center there in Maryland. What's that retreat called?
AUM Esoteric Study Center, and right now it is a holistic healthcare center where you can be treated by doctors that are not allopathic. They are allopathically brought up, but they use herbs, they use acupuncture, et cetera. It's become almost commonplace now to do that. But 25 years ago, as you know, Chris, acupuncturists had a terrible time in this country.
I was doing electroacupuncture in a clinic, and boy, did that come under fire.
Well, it can be dangerous. You know, it can be dangerous. It can hurt you. It can it really can burn you. But I would love to send you, I don't have your address, but I'd love to send you a little booklet on me and Jimi Hendrix that explains how we got together, what we were doing. And if you want to know more about the center, go to what's called Ruscombe, RUSCOMBE.org, and check it out. But the best thing about that is the person that founded it is my wife. And she has been, those people who know of her work as healing, but also works on the female prophets. There are female prophets within the Jewish tradition that most people are totally unaware of. And that's really unfortunate. Because, as you know, we have to balance the male-female element. Both, if we have balance between them, we'll have, there's a better chance we're going to have peace.
Well, the Ruscombe Center is a regular mansion there, an old mansion there in Maryland, isn't it?
That's right, and it's a mansion that was originally built by the Tyson family.
Uh-huh.
The Tyson family were those individuals that helped with the Underground Railroads, also involved in making sure that individuals that needed help in every kind of way could receive it. It was Elisha Tyson. I did murals of Elisha Tyson because he was such a great soul. And George Ellicott, these are individuals, especially the Ellicotts, that laid out the foundations of Washington, D.C., and did a lot more than just that. So they're people that I admire, and one of those individuals that I admire most of all is an individual by the name of Benjamin Banneker. He was a black African-American, one of the first African-American astronomers on the planet that did an ephemeris, and he challenged my very favorite founding father, Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson is my favorite.
Yeah, mine too, I think.
He's my favorite.
Yeah.
And he challenged Thomas Jefferson on slavery. And as a matter of fact, I'll be taking the part in a lecture, a group gathering at the House of the Temple in Washington, D.C., talking about this letter that Benjamin Banneker sent to Thomas Jefferson and said, you know, out of all the wonderful things you said, you still had slaves. Why? That's an extraordinary thing to say to the Secretary of State at that time.
Yeah.
So, thank you for letting me talk about this, but if I get your address, I'd like to send you some of these things, and I'd love to send you a Jimi Hendrix guitar pick.
Oh, hey, I'd be thrilled. Yeah, go ahead and send it to Chris Rudy at Box 1081.
Box 1081. My producer's taking this down.
That's Immigrant Montana, Emigrant, Montana, 59027.
Immigrant Montana, 59027.
That'll do it. Yeah. Oh, I'd be thrilled to have
It's great. It's great to connect with you again. Thank you for thinking about me. And I'm glad you're one of those that have taken these teachings and elevated them in such a way as to bring people together. You're not the kind of person that competes with other people and tries to, you know, that kind of thing sort of does not help.
Yeah.
Bringing people together is what's going to make a big difference on this planet.
Not making
divisions suffering.
Thanks so much,
also,
Bob.
If you want to know, if your listeners want to know more about my show, go to 21stcenturyradio.com. That's a numerical 21stcenturyradio.com. And you might have some other producers there that were interested in some Jimi Hendrix stuff. We'll send some cards, some this, that, and these, and those, okay?
All right. Hey, thanks. Robert Hieronymus from Maryland. We are so grateful for your presence.
Thank you for thinking of me. I'll talk to you again, I hope.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Okay. Well, we're going to go on. Anyone else like to call in? Other news with views? Love to hear them. We can take the conversation pieces regarding what's going on with the source field surging right now. I'd like to hear anyone like to talk about perhaps what's going on with Planet X right now. I understand that there's going to be on Coast to Coast Radio, I believe it's this next Tuesday, Nancy Lindauer is going to be on there, and she's one of the leading authorities on the subject of Zeta Talk. What's going on from the off-planet perspective? information comes through Nancy that much of the Pentagon and NASA monitors her site very carefully because there's more exquisite, detailed, specific information about the tectonic plate shifts on the planet and the energies of the planet, how they're changing, how the weather's changing, what's going on with the rising and the falling of different areas of the world right now with the tectonic plate movements, and what are the portents for a major energy shifts, if not pole shifts, over the next year. So some people may be interested in that. I don't know the exact time or when Nancy's going to be speaking on Coast to Coast Radio, but you can check and find that out for sure. I believe it's this coming Tuesday. That's a perspective. We've had people on the show before talking about the subject of Planet X from the Zeta perspective and some other perspectives as far as what different astronomers and different people are saying, different articles I provided on my website where I have links on the subject of this mini solar system coming through our solar system at this time and in passing through and slingshotting around the sun and heading out over this next year, apparently. So what's going to happen in the meantime? As I say, I don't believe it's foreordained or etched in stone. There is a prayer field around the planet, which I believe is the shields of the planet. And the shields are being raised by our prayers, and energies are being repolarized and aligned with the source field, so to speak. There is a harmonic resonance or a cosmic convergence going on with energies that affects the morphic grids of the Earth is reflected in the morphic fields of consciousness. Now, these morphic fields, these energy fields within fields, now there's laws or science regarding this. Some people have the understanding in physics that there are really basically only three types of energy fields: the Wright dynamic energy fields, the round magnetic energy fields, and the radiant energy fields, which are like a synthesis of the first two. And that these three types of fields within fields are operating an atomic level to a galactic level, from the neutrons, the nucleus, the protons, their interactions creating fields within fields on atomic and galactic levels. And this is the order of the universe that I frame with the love model, the geometry, and the L is referencing the linear Wright dynamic energy fields. The O is referencing the round magnetic energy fields. And the V is like a synthesis of the two, like thesis, antithesis, synthesis, creating a synergy which is greater than the sum of the parts with radiant energy fields. So if you get into the holographic universe or if that subject fascinates you, there's an awful lot out there on what's going on with the geometry of nature. This is the understanding of fractals, fractal geometries of nature, and these fractal fields within fields, creating fractal patterns. It's a combination of the right dynamic, round magnetic, and radiant energy fields. And this is why I refer to the love model, the geometry of divinity model, geometrically ordered divinity, as not just the law of the angles, but also the language of the angels, because this is the intelligence of cosmic love that's streaming through the Earth at this time with the surge in the source field. So basically when I say let the source be with you, I'm saying may love be with you. May this cosmic love, this universal intelligence, this universal energy surging with alignment of the energy fields of Earth with the energy fields of the galaxy and the energy fields of the great central sun in our galaxy, they're surging right now with a level of intensity that a lot of people are waking up as messengers of their own higher presence, a messenger of their I Am presence, you might say. With the veil thinning, they're having a connection with the source. And it's like having a connection with your I Am presence or your higher self or your real self or your God self or your divine self. Anyway, this self-elevation process is, you might say, the salvation process. And it's a self-correcting process, self-learning, self-healing, self-governing process. So do we have another caller? Oh, that must be that we're coming near the end of our show, so I got a little beep there I heard. And I want to thank everyone for listening to the show today. If you'd like to get more into this understanding of the source field, there's that article I referred to on the Cosmic Love homepage regarding return to source and what's going on with cosmogenesis now in the source field alignment, and the source field energies in our solar system. There's a reference there to information on this understanding of dimensionality regarding UFOs and why so many UFOs are encloaking right now. They're encloaking dimensionally because more people are ready to see them. There's awakening of consciousness to where the public is more receptive to the unknown, and as faith and, you might say, the source becomes stronger, fear of the unknown becomes weaker. And this is why a lot of there's far more an acceleration of UFO appearances all over the planet. It's like really a welcoming of the cosmic intelligence throughout our galaxy and universe, recognizing our awakening process and accelerating the process by appearing before us. So there's reference to that, the best historical UFO documentary that won the EBE Award. And this is for the UFO community. It was considered the best historical UFO documentary this last year. Brilliant stuff on the understanding the truth about UFOs, Nikola Tesla, free energy, anti-gravity technology, and the awakening to a public worldwide that's increasingly ready for it and making it so. So that's that article that I referenced on the Cosmic Love homepage. So for those who are interested in this galactic alignment process, cosmic genesis, that's the link to look at. And the other subject would be on the United Sovereigns of Earth. And with that, I'll let the meditation begin.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There is a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity.
All right.
Tools
hey,
and processes that empower the wisdom
right
of Cosmic Love.
And Gordon, are you there?
Yanni Noto.
Hey, glad to...
Yeah, I'm right here.
Glad you called in. You know, I talked a little bit about this Planet X subject, and I wanted to ask you specifically about what's the time of that Nancy Lindar thing on Coast to Coast?
Yeah, it's Nancy Diane Leader, and she is a telepath in Freedom, Wisconsin, and she was last on Coast to Coast in 2007, and then before that in 2005, and I think she was also on in 2003, but I'm not sure. And she's going to be on Tuesday night at 10 o'clock Pacific time. And for me in Maine, it's going to be 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. But for you, it will be 10 p.m. in California till 2 a.m. It's a four-hour show. So if you're in Mountain Time, then it would be 11 p.m. to, what is that, 3 a.m.
Well, that's going to be a really profound show. She's going to be giving us, from what I understand, some updates on what's going on with the Planet X subject. Could you give us some insight on what she'll be
Absolutely.
Talking about?
Yes, she is going to be talking about the complete topic from A to Z. But the interesting thing is that the Zetas are going to be giving her telepathic information while she's on the show. So this is going to be very exciting.
Oh, that's really interesting. So this is going to be kind of
not going to be just Nancy talking about what she's learned, but this will actually be Nancy with the Zetas in contact with her during the show.
So this is like an uncloaking of source.
Yeah, because if you call in with a question and they take it, you might have the Zeta, the 100% human, unselfish extraterrestrials answering your question through Nancy.
Oh, that's fascinating to me. You know, for those who have followed this subject and have gone to the, what, poleshift.ning, or how's it?
Yes, PoleShift.ning, yeah, and ZetaTalk.com.
And ZetaTalk.com. Those who have been following this information, as far as I've been able to discern from looking at a lot of different perspectives and different people that, like yourself that are experts on it, that what this information is so valued by world leaders, people worldwide, and by the Pentagon and NASA itself, that it's a very high percentage. What is it, 40% of the ISP addresses showing up on their website is actually NASA and Pentagon addresses, I've heard.
Yeah, the White House, the Pentagon. I mean, the president has to have face-to-face meetings with people around the world saying, well, no, don't get too excited. It's just going to be a minor thing, you know, because so many people have said, well, can we seek safety in the United States? And the United States has said no. And people from the UK, the British government, has asked Sweden or Norway or Finland if they would take people before the pole shift, and they said no. So it's like all these countries, China doesn't want to take anybody from the Philippines or Malaysia. So, everyone's trying to pretend this isn't happening, and the cover-up's falling away day by day as people witness these strange sights, not only in the sky, but the weather and the earth wobble and every other thing.
Wow, that's amazing.
But I have to tell you, there's some really big news that nobody knows. Maybe a handful of people know. But on the PoleShift.ning was a person who put out his own Zeta newsletter, and his name is Chris Thomas Wakefield. Now, I'm talking about PoleShift.ning.com, and Nancy Leader is in her early 70s, and she has many, many health problems. She has a heart condition. She has high blood pressure. She has diabetes and high cholesterol and you name it. So she's had to, in order to save herself for answering questions from the public and being in contact with the Zetas, she's had to delegate a lot of her day-to-day authority to the PoleShift.ning. And Chris Thomas Wakefield, this is the name you should remember. So write this down. Chris Thomas Wakefield was on the Ning and putting out his own newsletter. And some of these people that are running the Ning are unbelievably strict, and he did something that they didn't care for or whatever, and they banned him from the Ning. Well, he has his own newsletter, and the Zetas came to him directly and said that his accomplishments on the inner planes are so incredible, and his ability to be a direct telepath to the Zetas, the same Zetas that talked to Nancy, are so clear, the path is so clear, that he's starting his own website, and this is brand new. You could be one of the first members to sign up in it. It's PoleShift-Survival-Network.ning.com.
Oh, okay, let's,
and the man's
go
name
do that.
Is Chris Wakefield.
But Chris Thomas Wakefield at PoleShift-Survival-Network.ning.com.
Survivalnetwork.ning.com.
Network.ning.com.
Some of these other websites are like Anti Nancy or Anti Zeta Talk, but this is the same Zetas that are going to talk to Nancy are also talking to Chris Thomas Wakefield, and he's taking questions and answering them. So if for any reason, which I find hard to believe, but if anybody thinks they have a problem with Nancy and they don't want to get on Zeta Talk, they can go to this website and ask their own questions of the Zetas, and the answers will be answered every week just the way Nancy does. So this is not a competition with Nancy. This is like the team just got a lot stronger with a new player. And he does the most incredible pole shift. And they said that the message is far too important, and that his work on the inner planes is so incredible that he's able to absolutely clearly receive the Zeta messages. And so now there's going to be two sources. And as I said, and I don't want anyone to think that there's a competition here, the same Zetas that are telepathing or channeling or whatever you want to call it to Nancy Leader are also channeling to Chris Thomas Wakefield. And they each have their own points of view and way of stating things. And Chris has the most beautiful newsletter, which you can go to that website and subscribe to, which you'll be happy to receive. And so this is like, not only is Nancy going to ban Coast to Coast, which I don't know that she was ever officially banned, but there was a lot of skepticism about, well, you know, who can believe the Zetas and this and that. But every single day, their message has come true and been backed up by more and more facts. And it's just mind-boggling how true this is. And you've got to understand that pole shift is a natural event and it's a physical event. So, yes, we all have to save ourselves and we have to save others. And the most important thing is to develop empathy and become somebody who thinks of others first. And if you do that, the next most important thing after pole shift is the shift in consciousness to a higher level. And that's what some people call ascension, and other people have different names for it. I just call it dimension to a higher level. And most of the extraterrestrials that are unselfish are here on Earth now, more than there are humans. There might be 7 billion unselfish extraterrestrials. And in the same way that a ghost is like a lower level soul and you can't see it, but some people can, well, a fourth dimensional extraterrestrial is a higher dimensional soul that you can't see because we're on the third dimension. So but some people can see the fourth dimension, including my wife.
And they think and a lot of people who do see those think they're angels.
Exactly. So we have now a new outlet to try and bring a different viewpoint to expand the awareness of everybody. So, yes, this is a natural event. Yes, you have to save yourself and your neighbors. And yes, you have to be a person who's positive and empathetic and caring, not only in intentions, but in behavior, you know, in deeds. Like Edgar Cayce said, it's not enough to be good, but be good for something. So
that's interesting. Yeah, we have
this other point of view. And the phrase, the meek will inherit the earth, that's the meek. And by meek, they mean the people who have made a conscious choice to be unselfish, which is about 35% of the population right now. And at this crisis where we're about to have the economy totally collapse, and already the other day people lined up in St. Louis to withdraw their money from the Bank of America, and they called SWAT teams to hold the crowd off.
Really?
And they came out and told the people, well, you can withdraw your money online. You don't need to be lined up at the bank. But strangely enough, the website to withdraw your money had already been down for 72 hours.
I didn't know that. So, well, we're definitely in serious times of transition and transformation.
Yeah, failure of the economy is going to be a blessing, because if people went from their normal lives to disaster all of a sudden, they would just really be lost. But by having all banks fail, by having the economy fail, by having all of this happen, it's without the disaster, it's going to cause people to go, really, what am I doing with my life? What should I be doing with my life? Where am I and who should I be with? And am I in the right place and am I with the right people? And that's why we have to form survival communities, and people have to think of how they're going to help other people survive, because the ultimate test of this time is, are possessions more important to you than people, or are people more important to you than possessions?
Yeah, well, you know, Gordon, you have really provided a great conversation piece and thought forms for us to think about. We're really glad we were able to wrap it up with you. We're going to have to close now. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Gordon, for calling in. And
you're welcome.
By God's grace, there'll be mitigation of whatever is coming by a strong prayer field, and may the source be with you all. So bye for now.